Turn to Psalm 55, please. Psalm 55 is just one portion of this psalm I want to consider as a jumping off point or message tonight. I'll do a message that I've called Heavy Burdens and Anxious Cares, the Biblical Prescription. Heavy Burdens and Anxious Cares, the Biblical Prescription. In verse 22 is Psalm 55. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. There are certain sins that we must avoid at all costs. Sins that are accompanied with such powerful temptations that the only way we can resist them is by running from them. By avoiding or fleeing from any and all and every occasion that would give rise to these sins. They're clearly spelled out for us in God's Word. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee sexual immorality. 2 Corinthians 10:14, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. 1 Timothy 6:11, speaking about the love of money, but you, O man of God, flee these things. And 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lusts. But there are other sins that are much more difficult to avoid. There are some sins that we must contend with by dealing with them head on. We cannot run from them, we cannot avoid them, and we cannot avoid the occasions which gives rise to those sins. Example is the sin of being overcome with burdensome worry and anxious care. Now, right from the start, you see why this sin is so difficult to contend with. First of all, sinful care and worry are as much a part of our natural part of us, we rarely consider them sin. In fact, we often wear them like badges of honor. We speak unashamedly of our heavy burdens. We speak openly of our anxious cares and our worries. We either tend to downplay our worry and care as sin. Secondly, the occasions that give rise to being overcome by heavy burdens and anxious cares cannot be avoided. They usually arise out of the normal course of living in this sinful world and the daily pursuit of life. We can run from these situations that we must avoid, that give rise to the temptations like sexual sin, youthful lust, love of money, and idolatry, but we cannot run from or avoid those occasions that give rise to the sin of being overcome by burdens and cares. No matter who we are, where we live, or what avenue of life we pursue, we can't avoid those occasions from that prompt anxious fear and worry. But we are not to be overcome by them. There are burdens that are too heavy for us. There are cares that we are not to be anxious about. We must recognize this and turn them over to the Lord, which is easier said than done. One of the problems in the ministry is that you carry a lot of burdens of your own, but also many of your people. And I remember going home on several occasions saying to Jan, you know, with all the struggle some of the people have, it's wearing me down. And that's what she'll say to me. You need to cast that onto the Lord. You can't carry all of that. And that's what David says here in Psalm 55, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. We saw that as we read 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. And tonight I want to deal with that whole issue and some of the ways that these anxious cares and heavy burdens are generated. There are concerns that are God-given. There are concerns that are legitimate and unavoidable. There are concerns that we must have if we are even to survive in this world. Concerns we must have in order to be responsible Christians and fulfill the task God has called us to. But the legitimate, unavoidable, God-given concerns can become sinful. There is a thin line between legitimate concern and inordinate fear and worry. And it's sometimes very difficult to know where to draw that line. But when we step over that line, we do sin. Let's look at some of the things that create these cares. The pressure of providing for the basic necessities of life. We must do whatever is right and necessary to provide for our daily needs. Food, clothing, shelter. This is a God-given concern, a God-given duty. This is why we are to work by the sweat of our brow. Manual labor is the primary means ordained of God for providing us with the basic necessities of life. In fact, manual labor was instituted before sin ever entered the world. When the Lord created the heavens and the earth and created man, he told Adam to tend to the garden. But when sin entered the world, the whole creation came under a curse. Therefore, the labor required to get the ground to produce has been greatly intensified. We live in a day and age where there's many people without work. I know we get the percentage of those who are out of work from the government, but we believe that that percentage is a lot higher than is being reported. And there are a lot of people who are concerned because they have no work, they have no labor. There are those who have worked for companies for many years who have been let go, and they're up older in years, and they have no work. And so there's a legitimate concern. But without this concern, we'd be lazy, indolent, and irresponsible. And God condemns that in those uncertain terms. The book of Proverbs is filled with condemnation for the slothful and for the sluggard. In fact, God has set down a principle that this nation would be well to consider, and our president ought to consider. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if anyone does not work, neither shall he eat. Secondly, in 1 Timothy 5:8, for if anyone does not provide for his own, especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I don't know how you can be worse than an unbeliever. But that's what Paul said. If a man does not provide for his own household, he is denied the faith that he claims that he holds on to, and he becomes worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. Therefore, providing for the necessities of life is a legitimate, unavoidable, God-given concern. But it's very easy to step over the line. One of the common sins among God's people is to have a legitimate concern become an inordinate concern. Being overcome with fear and worry is to be sinfully disobedient to the clear commands of the Lord. That's easy for me to say that, but we've all been in the, probably most of us have been into a situation where we didn't know how things were going to work out. Go over to the book of Matthew chapter 6. We'll be moving around out of necessity. We'll be moving around in the scriptures quite a bit. The Lord recognized this. He realized we would have two problems when it comes to material things. We'd either worship them or worry about them. In verses 21 through 23, he's talking about the problem in through 24, worshiping what he calls mammon or money. But then he talks about worrying about it. Therefore, verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to a stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you? And then he puts his finger on the whole issue. O you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles or the sinners seek after. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, that's a promise from the Lord. If we put him first and the glory and the gospel first, he will be sure that we are our needs are taken care of. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So the first thing that generates these heavy burdens and anxious care is the pressure of providing for the basic necessities of life. Secondly, the inevitable conflicts in personal relationships. The inevitable conflicts in personal relationships. Personal relationships are a real blessing from the Lord. When God created Adam, he said it's not good that for him to be alone. So he created Eve as his helper and as his companion. And husbands, I hope you look at your wife as Proverbs says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. Children are a blessing from the Lord. Proverbs 1:27-3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Look at like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. Now, we all know the blessedness of loved ones and close personal friends. We form friendships throughout life and make acquaintances with our neighbors and those in the workplace. But with personal relationships becomes inevitable conflict. We are imperfect people, and we will do imperfect things, one of which creating and dealing with the conflict that arises out of the many and various relationships. Even though God intended the marriage relationship to be a blessing, it's often a source of great tension and turmoil. Some of you are smiling. Go over to Psalm 19. I showed you this before, but I want to go through it again. Proverbs 19. And I don't want to sound like I'm picking on the wives, but just as a virtuous wife is more valuable than than rubies, a wife can tear her house down with her hands. And one of the ways she can do that is be contentious. I want you to know the digression here. Look at verse 13 of Proverbs 19. A foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contentions of a wife are like a continual dripping. The contentions means combative, hostile, non-submissive. What does it conjure up in your mind? A continual dripping. Drip, drip, drip. Irritation. That's the way it begins. Irritation. Go to chapter 21 and verse 9. It gets worse. Verse 9. Better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than a house shared with a contentious woman. Isolation. It goes from being an irritation to isolation. Wives, why does your husband always want to be outside in the garden? Why does he always want to be downstairs working in the basement? He never wants to be around you. Maybe that dripping has got to him and has now gone from irritation to isolation. Then it gets worse. Verse 19. Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Now you got separation. Separation. So remember that these are issues that we have to struggle with. And certainly us men have probably a lot greater issues than some of the women do. But even though children are a gift and a blessing from the Lord, they can be a source of much pain and heartache for parents. Look at Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Proverbs 17. Verse 21. He who begets a scoffer does so to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. Verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his mother, and bitterness to her father, and bitterness to her who bore him. Conflict can arise out of any relationship. This is certainly implied in the following text of Scripture. If you go to Proverbs 25, please. Proverbs 25. Verse 8. Do not go hastily to court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame? Debate your case with your neighbor. Do not disclose the secret to another, lest he hears it, expose your shame, and your reputation is ruined. Verse 17. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary of you and hate you. A man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow. Confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. Like one who takes away garment in cold weather, and like vinegar on soda is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. Now it's right to be concerned about conflict in our personal relationships. It is right to be pained and grieved by the tension of conflict. God himself was pained and grieved over the stubborn rebellion of the children of Israel. Psalm 78, verses 40 through 41. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. But a legitimate concern for our personal relationships can be an occasion for sinful worry and care. Many a godly parent has spent a sleepless night because of worry and care for their children. And it's very hard to know where to draw that line between a legitimate concern for our children and an inordinate one. The third thing that helps generate these anxious cares and heavy burdens, the trials and tribulation of living in a sinful and hostile world. The trials and tribulations of living in a sinful and hostile world. Go to the book of John, please. Just bear with me, because the only way I can support what I'm saying is going to the various texts of Scripture. Go to John 15, please. We're pretty much familiar with this, what Jesus says. We'll pick up the reading in verse 18 of John 15. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they also persecute you. That kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they'd have no sin. But that now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. Jump down to chapter 16 and verse 4. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, of sin because they did not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I say, still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, we don't think much of persecution. The church has existed in a politically free environment since this country was founded. But the fact remains that the prospects of persecution are always present. No one looks forward to persecution. It is right and reasonable to be concerned about it. But we can step over the line from a legitimate concern to inordinate fear and worry. And then fourthly, the legitimate concerns for the salvation of souls and advancing the kingdom of God. And here it's very difficult to know where to draw the line. We all have concern for the souls of men and women. Some of us have concerns for the salvation of our own children. And that is a great concern. It's right and legitimate to be concerned for lost souls. In fact, we should question our standing in grace if we can look at a lost world with no love or compassion for the lost. Our Lord certainly revealed a concern for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go over to Luke chapter 19, please. Luke 19. Jesus just presented himself as the King of Israel, riding in on the back of the colt, and fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies. And then in verse 41, now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. It's interesting, when you look at verse 41, it says, he saw the city and he wept over it. And I looked that up in the Greek, and that's the strongest word for crying. It's one thing for say when he was at Lazarus' tomb, Jesus wept, but this is a strong sobbing, almost out of control, crying and weeping and over the fact that he knew what was going to happen to the people of Jerusalem. In 70 AD, Titus came, leveled the city, destroyed the temple, millions of people were slaughtered and butchered. The Lord recognized that, and he had great concern for them, and he wept over them. Paul certainly had a great concern for the lost. In fact, we dealt with this in Sunday school, and some people had some questions about it. His concern went to the very limits of legitimacy. He had a degree for the lost that went before anything that we will ever experience. Go over to Romans chapter 9 again, please. Romans chapter 9. Now, I want you to see that Paul's not just using a figure of speech here. He goes out of his way to show you that what he's saying comes from the heart. And actually, he's saying, I'm holding the Holy Spirit up as a witness to what I'm about to say. Look at verse 1 of chapter 9. I tell the truth in Christ, I'm not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. I have a great sorrow and continual grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. And the word there, accursed, is adokimos, which means to be damned. Paul was saying, I'm telling you, I have such a great concern over my people, speaking of the Jews. I could wish that I myself would be willing, I'm going to put it in my own words, would be sent to hell forever if that incident, if that situation would bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a concern he had for the lost. But any concern can become inordinate. It can become an occasion for sinful worry and care. This usually happens when we lose sight of the sovereignty of God and salvation. When we forget that salvation is of the Lord, we inadvertently take on the responsibility of the salvation of souls. This is one of the great pitfalls of the ministry. God calls certain ones to preach His word and promise that He will save souls through the foolishness of preaching. The preacher's responsibility is to plant and water. God alone is responsible for the increase. But when there is not the response that the preacher expected, it begins to blame himself. He loses sight of the responsibility of planting and watering, and unwittingly begins to shoulder responsibility of granting the increase. Before I was solid in the works, in the doctrines of grace, early on in the ministry, people would say to me, go see Uncle Charlie in the hospital. He's not saved. Get him saved. Well, I'd go see Uncle Charlie, and I'd talk to him. I never met Uncle Charlie before in my life, but they said, go see him, get him saved. He's going to die. So I go over and see Uncle Charlie, and I would talk to him and bring scripture home to his heart, and no response. And I walk out of the hospital and say, well, maybe I didn't use the right scripture. Maybe I didn't say it right. Maybe. And you stand there and you start carrying that burden. I mean, if that poor guy dies, he's going to hell. And I had an opportunity to bring him to the Lord, and I failed. And you really start to carry that around. But you lose sight of the fact that we are to plant and we are to water, but it's God alone who gives that increase. We can't save anyone, but we can use the scriptures and pray that the Holy Spirit will open our heart and bring them to salvation. No one can bear the burden of salvation of souls. And once that happens, a legitimate burden for the lost becomes a wearisome and destructive burden. Some of you parents, including myself, have a great concern and desire for the salvation of your children. I have a son that has been we got from Korea when he was 3 and a half. He's been in church. He's heard the gospel from the time he was old enough to understand. He's been to the Word of Life Bible Institute. He's been to Liberty University. He's professed faith in Christ. But it's obvious the way he's living, he's never been saved. He's never been saved. And that's a concern for us. But I've had to leave that in the hands of the Lord. He knows the truth. Holy Spirit, you've got to take the truth that he knows and open up his heart before he passes out of this life. Ask God to nurture and preserve the burden. We don't want to lose that burden for souls. We don't want to always have that burden. But we don't want that burden to become an inordinate one where we try to do the work that only God can do. God alone is the only one that can save. The last thing that helps create these worrisome cares and burdens is the moral decay in our society and the consequences that will be reaped in the future. Last Thursday night, I was surfing through the channels. I came upon a new program. I forget what it was called, but it was about political corruption. I said, well, that might be interesting. But I had to turn that off quick because they showed two men passionately kissing and tearing each other's clothes off. I said, God have mercy on us. God have mercy on us. If anything confirms the fact that our nation as a whole is on a downward spiral, this does. By reading the scriptures, we know where this will eventually bear very bitter fruit. There are always consequences of sin. What we sow, we will reap. Be sure your sins will find you out. when you see that through our biblical history, in fact, only when you understand world history through a biblical perspective does the history make any sense. Being concerned about the consequences of the future because of the moral decay of our nation and because of the political situation is a legitimate concern. But this legitimate concern can be very easily become an inordinate one, where we can't sleep at night. We wring our hands. Oh, what's it going to be like? How are we going to deal with this? They don't want their children. Some people don't have children. They deliberately make a decision because don't want to bring them up in a wicked environment. They don't want their children to have to face such a bleak and uncertain future, so they deprive themselves of the blessing of children. Some churches and parachurch organizations have become so deeply involved in politics and other social causes out of fear of the future. Let me just remind you of something. You already know this. We can vote in all the strong conservative politicians we want to. But if they're unsaved, they're going to do what unsaved men and women do. I don't care how conservative they claim to be. They're unsaved, they will do what unsaved men and women do. That's not the answer. The answer is to get on our knees and ask God to revive the church. The church is the one to have the influence in the world, not a bunch of politicians who will tell you anything you want to hear so they get voted in. Remember the biblical prescription for all of this. Go back to Psalm 52, please. We're going to close. Psalm 55. What burdens and cares are you carrying tonight? See what David said? Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Now, he's not sitting in an ivory tower when he says that. If you read this whole psalm, he was under great agony of heart because those closest to him had turned on him as it could be Ahithophel, his closest advisor. And he talks about that his words were smoother than oil, but they were drawn swords. He complains of how fearful he was. And how he even prayed that God would deal with them. But in light of that, in the midst of all of that turmoil in his soul, he sets this very comforting text before us. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Praise the Lord for the fact that we have a God who cares for us. And we need to cast our cares upon him because he does care for us. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer right from here. Don't forget, everyone's invited to the Foxes after the service tonight. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for Jan being able to be here tonight. We pray you'll bring continual healing in her heart. We pray for Donnie and Cody as they head back from upstate New York. Give him a good week with the Bible Club. Be with the girls as they continue to work up at the camp. Be with Debbie's children as they prepare to go up to Word of Life. Thank you for Ashley and Melody. Bless them as they minister up there, and may you use that for their own growth and grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.